Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Mighty God, you breathe life into our bones, and your Spirit brings truth to the world. Send us this Spirit, transform us by your truth, and give us language to proclaim your gospel through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
A reading from Acts. When the day of Pentecost had come, the apostles were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'Oh, they are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. 'In the last days it will be,' God declares, 'that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women in those days, I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 104 responsively. How manifold are your works, O Lord! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There go the ships to and fro, and Leviathan, which you made for the sport of it.
All of them
give it to them. They gather it. You open your hand, and they are filled with good things.
When you fight,
send forth your Spirit, and they are created. And so you renew the face of the earth.
Look
at the earth, and it trembles. You touch the mountains, and they smoke.
I will sing
these words of mine, please God. I will rejoice in the Lord.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Hallelujah. Glory to the Father.
A reading from Romans. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Word of God, word of life. The Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Pentecost sermon took a big turn earlier this week when we heard the news about Annika's death, that sudden and tragic death. So many feelings and emotions flooded over her family and friends, over this congregation who knew Annika so well in her role as deacon and a member of the congregation and so many other aspects of life in this community, and for the whole Point Loma community as well. I didn't know when I was writing my sermon earlier in the week that I would have to change my sermon. And I looked at the readings for this Sunday because I have always gone to Romans 8 in times of difficulty and tragedy. Thursday, I was sitting with Elizabeth and in my head, remembering Romans 8. I get back to my office on Friday to start really focusing on the sermon, looking at the appointed readings for this day. And the appointed reading for this day was Romans 8, which you just heard. God speaks to us in the words of Scripture. But we really need to back up a little bit. And in the readings that we heard from Romans, and really to read some earlier verses to appreciate and understand what Paul is really trying to say to us in this letter. So let me read a few of the few verses that come right before what we heard, starting with verse 18. "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in the hope that the creation itself will be set free from the bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God." In this letter, to the Romans. Paul is making a connection back to that first book of Scripture, to the book of Genesis. And he's thinking about the Garden of Eden and how God cursed the ground because of human sin. When humankind fell into sin, all creation was affected. Ever since that fall, ever since that first sin, humans suffer. And all creation groans, Paul says, like a woman in labor. What will be is not yet. How things were originally is long past. Both humans and all of creation live in an in-between time, between what was and what will be. Paul is writing to this Christian community of believers, but it was a conflicted church, made up of both Jewish and Gentile Christians who didn't always agree with one another. They were often in conflict with each other, and within themselves, they were in conflict with their own brokenness. The problem with brokenness, whether it's our own or someone else's or creation itself, the problem is with brokenness is that it produces suffering, and we don't like suffering. It does something to us. Some who suffer give up, even taking their own lives. Some become angry and take out their pain, directing hurtful words or actions to others, especially those closest to them. Some give in to hopelessness and to depression and disappear into an addiction or into depression itself. Whether emotional or physical, suffering can turn us inward, causing us to focus only on ourselves, focus only on our own suffering, excluding community and those who might be able to help us. But that doesn't need to be our story. As baptized believers, we know another story. We know the story of Jesus Christ, God's own Son, who suffered and died for our sins, who broke down the wall that separated sinners from God. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus Christ opened the door of heaven for all of us sinners. In baptism, we are freed from sin and death, and we are united to our brother Jesus, and we are united to one another as the family of God. We are claimed as beloved daughters and sons through no merit of our own, and we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul called it first fruits. But now, in this in-between time, we live in a broken creation, and our bodies, along with all of creation, are suffering and dying. And in this in-between time, we groan like creation itself. We groan to be made whole. We groan for all division and hatred to be taken away. We groan for all brokenness to be healed. But in that groaning, we have hope. Having been marked with the cross of Christ and sealed with the Holy Spirit forever in baptism, we have hope. Because of our brokenness, we can't know God's good and gracious will for us. But the Holy Spirit knows. Paul says to the Romans and to us that we can hope in this in-between time. We wait patiently for the end of our brokenness, and indeed for the end of all brokenness, when finally and fully to be united to God as the beloved daughters and sons of God, then all of our questions will be answered. Then we will see God. Then we will understand. The Holy Spirit is praying and working in us to create in us a people living hopefully in the promise that what will someday be fulfilled in God. We are children of that promise, people of that promise. But now, in this in-between time of what was and what will be, to quote Martin Luther, we are both saint and sinner at the same time, both a child of the promise and a broken person living in a broken world. But Paul reminds us that we have great reason to hope in this in-between time. Our hope, which is the confidence that we are loved by God and held securely by Him, is given through God's gift of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit dwells in us. That Spirit is God's guarantee that there is an amazing future for us, and that we have not been abandoned to hopelessness and suffering during this in-between time. The present time may seem hopeless, but take heart. God is gracious. Our future is secure. Today we may groan, but our future shall be full of rejoicing. Today we may groan, but our future will be glorious. That doesn't mean that God has abandoned us to our present time, to our present sufferings and needs. The Holy Spirit who dwells in us is forever calling us and reaching out to God, even in this in-between time when we live with suffering, when our days are preoccupied with emotional and physical pains, when our questions and our sadness leave us numb. This is when we need to hear Romans 8, and we need to hear it in community. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. You know, many people who live alone, especially the elderly, wear a button, a life alert or a personal emergency button. And when something happens, like a fall or an asthma attack, all it takes is a push of that button to get a response. Some programs, you don't even have to say anything. You don't have to give your name or your address or tell them what happened. The button push alone is a cry for help. The ad, I looked it up, the ad says, you don't have to do anything. We know who you are and where you live, and we will send someone to your aid immediately. St. Paul says that when we don't know how to pray, when we're fumbling for the right words, or simply crying out our hearts to God, the Spirit within us is interpreting everything perfectly. Help is on the way. God knows where we live. God knows who we are. A Christian author once wrote that she had two favorite prayers, both prayers, six words each. Help me, help me, help me. And her other favorite prayer, thank you, thank you, thank you. We don't need to pray in great detail. The Holy Spirit will fill in the rest. Winston Churchill once gave a commencement speech at his alma mater. I think Lindsay's probably hoping that her commencement speech would echo what Winston Churchill said. It was quite short. He stood up, put his hands on the lectern, looked those Eton School children in the eye, and said, never, never, never give up. And then he sat down. We belong to God, and God's gift to us is a living hope. Through the Spirit, we know who we are and whose we are. Nothing in the present, not our sufferings, not our sinfulness, can keep us from God. And no fears about the future can prevent God from blessing us. Most importantly, on this Pentecost Sunday, we remember that God will never, never, give up on us. Even when we give up on ourselves, God will never, never, never give up on us.